Okay, folks, this call is officially a call. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. My name is Jeffrey Combs. My wife's name is Erica Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars. My wife, Erica Combs, is the vice president of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. We also own More Heart Than Talent Publishing and More Heart Than Talent Marketing. It is our unequivocal privilege and pleasure to bring to you tonight one of the most awesome, exceptional, inspirational speakers, writers, authors, business leaders that I have ever had the opportunity to witness in person, share a stage with, and have the opportunity just to learn from in my last 15 years. So I'm going to cover a few announcements. Jim, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. I need to take you with me around the world. Introduce me. That was great.
Hey, well, I'm just getting started, Jim. Wait till I go into marketing phase at the end of the call.
All right.
Now, you remember that from last year in Dallas.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, I'm just going to cover a few quick announcements, and then I'm going to jump right into our portion of the call, all right?
Okay.
Okay, folks, any of you who are brand new on this call, we do this call each and every Tuesday night. You can bring your entire team or any group of entrepreneurs, or you can just pass the word around. We've been hosting this call for over 7.5 years. Our website is www.goldenmastermind.com, and you can reach us directly at 800-595-6632. One of our most exciting products that we have just launched or in the process of marketing is our turnkey postcards. We are having fantastic and phenomenal results. There is a website devoted entirely to that product. That is mhtmarketing.com. This Saturday, I will be in Dallas, Texas with two of my dearest friends. That would be Dr. Ellie Drake and Artemis Limpert. And I also have the opportunity to share the stage for the first time with an exceptional young speaker, Orrin Hatch. So you definitely want to find a way to attend that event in Dallas, Texas. That is this Saturday, October 29th. November 5th, I will be in Baltimore, Maryland with my good friend, Jerry Clark. And that is a tremendous 1-2 punch that is right down in the harbor of Baltimore in a fabulous hotel. November 19th, I will be in Seattle, Washington, following up in December 10th in Denver, Colorado, December 17th, San Francisco, California. And that will be the last More Heart Than Talent event of the calendar year 2005. And what a year it has been. My wife, Eric, and I also do personal coaching, one-on-one mentoring. We routinely have a 6-week waiting list for our services. We do not farm any of our coaching clients out to other coaches that we train. We do all of that one-on-one. I've had the opportunity to coach and mentor over 1,500 clients in the last 7.5 years. And I've devoted almost 16,000 hours to understanding why we do what we do. And anyone who has not taken advantage of our Breakthroughs to Success workshops, those are our signature products. Those are very specialized workshops for 30 people. We bring 30 people from all around the globe to Stockton, California for a 2.5-day event. We do it 10 times a year, and you have an opportunity to squeeze into the last two events of the year. The last two events are November 10th, 11th, and 12th, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So if you have not taken advantage of one of those events, you have an opportunity. There are 2 tickets left for the November 10th, 11th, and 12th event, and there are 5 tickets left for the December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And last but not least, we will be launching the calendar year 2006. Wow, that is a nice ring to it, doesn't it? 2006. We will be launching the new year beginning on January 5th, 6th, and 7th in the beautiful city of Dallas, Texas. That is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event. The keynote speakers for that 3-day event are none other than Mr. Jim Rohn and Mark Victor Hansen and Jerry Clark, myself, John DeLemme, and a whole host of speakers, Dr. Ellie Drake, just to name a few of the speakers at that event. There is a website that you can register, and right now, $199, believe it or not, you can still purchase a ticket to that event for $199. As of November 1st, that ticket price will be $299. That website is morehearttalent.com. goldenmastermindseminars.com. You can also register at Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is now my privilege to introduce tonight's featured guest, Mr. Jim Rohn, the man that many consider to be America's foremost business philosopher. Jim has been sharing his success philosophies and principles for well over 39 years with more than 6,000 audiences and over 4 million people worldwide. I had my first opportunity to see Mr. Rohn back in 1991, had the opportunity to share a stage, which is a lifetime goal, back in September of 2000. Jim is the 1985 recipient of the coveted CPAE Award for Excellence in Speaking, as well as the 2004 recipient of the Masters of Influence Award from NSA, National Speakers Association. He is the author of over 25 books, audio, and video programs. Jim Rohn has been hailed over the years as one of the most influential thinkers of our time. Jim has helped to motivate and train an entire generation of personal development trainers, as well as hundreds of executives from America's top corporation. Jim has been described as everything from a master motivator from Mr. Mark Victor Hansen and a national treasure by Vic Conant, one of the most profound thinkers and mind-expanding individuals of our time. Les Brown also is a big fan of Jim Rohn's. So Les Brown has stated that Jim is one of the most articulate, powerful, thought-provoking speakers ever seen. So Mr. Rohn is an extraordinary human being and mentor. That was quoted by Anthony Robbins, all the way to modern-day Will Rogers by Tom Hopkins, and a legend by Nito Cobain. So now let the man who has influenced so many assist you to invent your future. Jim Rohn, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, Jeff, I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate that introduction, and congratulations to you and Erica. 7 years says a lot. It says reputation. It says effectiveness, and congratulations to everybody on this call, you know, that are participating in this incredible program. I appreciate what you're doing. All of us need a little help. We all can use a little coaching along the way to get us where we want to go. And I'm looking forward to December 5 in participating in your program in Dallas. Yeah, but thanks, everybody, for, you know, inviting me to be a part of this call.
You know, January 5 in Dallas, what a way to launch the calendar year 2006. You know, we were fortunate enough to have you as our keynote speaker last year. We had attendance of about 550 people, Jim. We have over 800 registrations. We're expecting 1,000 people, and I know the folks are really excited. And tonight's just kind of a tip of the iceberg about what you will be covering. And I know you haven't even shown up yet, and I know you have some great information. I just want to ask you a few simple questions. Let the folks know a little bit about Mr. Jim Rohn. My number one question, Jim, and you know, I have every piece of information you've ever written, produced. I know your story inside and out, but the $7 million question is, why did Jim Rohn become an entrepreneur back when he was 25 years old?
Well, you know, I had a unique experience, and if those have listened to some of my programs, I heard a knock on my door. I'm 25 years old. I've got a brand new family. I'm struggling, you know, doing the best I can. I quit school when I was 19, unfortunately. But I'm working hard and trying to do my best. But I hear a knock on my door, and I go to the door, and there's a little Girl Scout selling Girl Scout cookies. She gave me this incredible presentation. Greatest organization in the world, Girl Scouts. We've got these cookies, only $2. And with a big smile, she very politely asked me to buy. No problem. I wanted to buy. Big problem. I don't have $2 in my pocket. And I thought, well, I'm a grown man. I'm 25 years old. I've been to 1 year of college. I'm married. I'm starting a little family. I live in the richest country in the world, and I don't have $2 in my pocket. So I didn't want to tell her that. So next best, I lied to her and said, hey, look, I've already bought plenty of, you know, Girl Scout cookies. We've still got some in the house we haven't used yet. And she said, well, thank you very much. And she walked away. When she left, I said to myself, I don't want to live like this anymore. I mean, how low can you get, right, Jeff? Lying to a Girl Scout. I mean, that's about it. So I promised myself that day I would start my search for ideas or someone to coach me on doing better. Sure enough, shortly after that, I found someone who did the coaching like you're doing and totally changed my life over a five-year period. I met this man when he was 40. I think he was 44 years old. 5 years later, he was dead, age 49. But during that 5 years, the ideas he shared with me revolutionized my whole life, my income, my look at the future, my personal development. It was just incredible. So meeting someone who's got something to share and willing to share it and that can mean a difference in your life, I know what that's all about. It happened for me.
You know, I've heard you talk many times about the opportunity to have a mentor. Those first 5 years were very important. How important is having a mentor in life and in business?
You know, mine just came along. I was looking for opportunity, and there he was. Fortunately for me, he had such a combination of skills and disciplines. He only went to the ninth grade in school, but in his very simple way and putting it to work in his own life, he became very wealthy and was willing to share. It was just incredible. My good fortune was I had a chance to go to work for him in his company. I think that was the added benefit because everything he shared then I put to work. And, that created a lot of activity and results for me early on. So I think it's very important, people willing to share. Not necessarily one person that has, you know, all the answers, but a variety of people, somebody maybe to coach you on health, someone else to coach you on financial opportunity and how to be financially independent, someone else maybe to coach you on spiritual matters, and someone else on, you know, the relatively challenging work of day-to-day growing and developing skills and disciplines for the future. So it's really important, whether it's a variety of coaches or one single person that, you know, has a lot of skills that can give you the input you need to get better and better every day.
You know, free enterprise is a very interesting journey, and one of your favorite quotes is that, you know, success is it's not a payoff, it's a process.
Right.
Share with us a little bit about what your first years as an entrepreneur. I would bet you were an overnight success like me. Is that right?
Yeah, right. Well, it took me about 7 years, finally, starting at dead zero, age 25, to become a millionaire. But, I invested $200 in a little enterprise and started part-time, 15 hours a week. And I turned that into a fortune. I think one of the reasons is because early on, my mentor taught me to understand what the value of a couple hundred dollars investment in 15 hours a week was. He called it capital. And I never understood that. Now I'm teaching it in Russia. The last 10, 11 years, I think I've made 5 trips to Russia, all the way across the country and back several times, major cities, teaching capitalism because it's the hope of the future. Look what's happened to America using capitalism all these years. The communists said, well, capital belongs to the state, not the people. We've taught all these years that's nonsense. Capital belongs to the people, not the state. And we've made it work. So what a gift to finally understand. So in Russia, I tried to teach them that first was capital money. That was my $200 investment. Second was capital time. And capital is like seed corn. You wouldn't let anybody have it. You wouldn't feed it to your family. If the farmer's going to plant this corn for a multiplied harvest in the future, he can't eat it himself. He can't be careless and lose it. It's too precious. But people sometimes don't understand that their capital time and their capital money is precious commodity. And if it's invested wisely, it can multiply in such huge amounts that it's just almost incomprehensible. And that's what happened for me.
You know, that is such a great story. It took you 7 years. You know, most people want to be an overnight success. And one of my favorite programs of yours, one of my favorite books, is The Seasons of Life. And
yes.
You talk about the cycle and the seasons of life. Could you share a little bit about the law of the harvest for all these awesome entrepreneurs on tonight?
Well, you know, you've got to go through all the seasons. They're inescapable. First, I talk about winter, and some winters are easy, and some are difficult, and some are challenging. And, you know, there's economic winters and personal winters, and winters when you can't figure it out. It seems like all is lost, but finally spring comes. So the key in the winter is to hang on. And then in the spring, take advantage, plant wisely. Spring's usually a short season. Got to get going, massive action. What if you asked a farmer to go bowling in the spring? You know, he would think you were insane. He said, you can bowl, you know, in the winter after the harvest is gathered, but you can't go bowling in the spring. But to treat each season with that kind of understanding and respect. Then, of course, the season that really answers so many questions is the season of summer, where you have to nourish your values and your crops like a mother, and you have to defend them like a father all summer. But if you do it good and if you do it well, no doubt you can have this multiplied harvest come harvest time. Then you've got to do wise things with the harvest. I finally found out the hard way that just making excellent income. By the time I was 27, 28 years old, back all those years ago, I was making like 30,000 plus a month. And at first I wasn't very wise in what I did with it, but after some very severe lessons that it can leave as quickly as it can come, I finally learned to do wiser things with my income, which has, produced a few fortunes for me.
A few fortunes. Well, you've been in the game many, many years. And I have to admit that one of the statements that you stated last year this present year in Dallas, Texas, when you were speaking for us at the Morehouse and Talent Conference, it really rang true for me. I'll never forget what you said. Have more houses than you have cars.
That's true. Don't buy the second car till you bought the second house.
How true.
Especially in California. The real estate here has been incredible. A friend of mine had his condo for sale in Carmel, which I'm doing this phone call from Carmel, one of my favorite places where I wrote my very first book. He offered me this condo for sale 12 years ago, Ron Wagenhals, and it was a little tiny, almost like an apartment, one bedroom, and he said, I want $80,000 for this condo. I said, well, Ron, that's insane. Nobody's going to pay $80,000 for it. But I still almost bought it, but I thought, no, that's too much money. Now, 12 years later, he put it up for sale, I think about 8 months ago, $650,000. So just to validate my point, you know, buy the second house before you buy the second car.
And when I heard you say that, my wife and I had six cars and two houses.
So yeah.
We just recently bought our third house in, you know, California real estate, as correct, so correct. Let's talk a little bit about...
Hey, that third car is okay, Jeff, as long as you've got the third house, right?
Yeah, we've got the third house now. Let's talk a little bit about assets and liabilities.
Yes.
A very key point. Most of our populace, unfortunately, has more liabilities than they have assets. What can you speak to our audience about that? I know you could go on and on about this topic.
You know, my father taught me, one of the greatest things he taught me was to someday be debt-free, not only financially secure, to where you could live from the income of your invested resources, but to be debt-free. When my father died, my mother died about 8 years before. When he finally died, I inherited the estate, the farm and the buildings and the land and all of it. Guess how much was owed on all of it? Not one penny. Not one debt, not one bill, not one nothing. The lawyer that handled the estate said, I've never seen anything like it, a totally debt-free estate. So my parents not only taught it, they practiced it. And I remember the day when I could say, thanks to my mother and father, I am now debt-free. I don't owe anybody anything. You're not only having your fortune and, you know, homes and lands and, you know, the things that you've got, but to be debt-free. Then the other that inspired me was when someone suggested I build a financial wall around my family, nothing could get through. I thought, what a classic idea. I'm going to do that. Because it's so important. You know, I didn't dream up all the stuff I share in the two-day seminar or the piece of the seminar that I'm going to do for you. All of this came to me by people that had experience, passed it along. Earl Schoaf, my first mentor, said, profits are better than wages. Wages make you a living, profits make you a fortune. I flipped over that one phrase. I said, well, that's what I've been missing. I've been working 6 years. I started working when I was 19. I'm now 25. That's what I've been missing. I've been working on my wages, but I haven't been working on my fortune. I immediately, at age 25, changed that and started spending those extra hours a week working on my fortune. He said, now you can get up in the morning and say, I'm spending full-time on my job and part-time on my fortune. It's a change of attitude. It's a change of words. But it's also a change of philosophy that starts to give, better vision, better details, better instructions, to your mind and heart and soul and body to do the work. Because now you've got a new mindset, not just working on your living, but working on your fortune.
You know, the very first cassette series I ever purchased was back in 1991, recommended by my very good friend, Jerry Clark, The Art of Exceptional Living.
Yes.
And I will never forget one of the most classic things I've ever heard from you is this. If you have pennies in your pockets, I'll let you finish it.
I can't remember that one.
Pennies in your pocket, zero in your bank account, creditors calling.
Oh, yeah, that's when I met the Girl Scout.
Right.
I had pennies in my pocket, nothing in the bank, and a creditor calling once in a while saying, you told us the check was in the mail. I was so embarrassed about that position. For my family, for myself, you know. I thought, gosh, I've got, surely I can do better than this. Then the Girl Scout story, and that was what I called, one of those days that turns your life around, and you're never the same again. When you say, this is the end, I will never let this happen again, I'm going for a search to make my life better.
In the early 90s, I got to see you in the back of the room. I was way, 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 way back in the room, and this was like my first big, other than company rally or convention, this was my first outside speaker, and I was in way in the back of the room. But, 9 years later, I got to sit right in the front of the room.
Wow.
On September 30th, 2000, you may remember this.
Yeah, I do remember.
My good friend Jerry Clark had this little workshop in your hometown of the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California.
Right.
Boy, and we had a great attendance. You remember that?
Sure.
I'll never forget something you said there. We had about 85 people at that event, and you said, you never focus on how many, you focus on who. And you told a great story about an event that you had done in the 80s, and you said there were two remarkable men in the audience. One was 17 and one was 19.
Teenagers.
Can you remember who? Can you share with us who those two teenagers were?
Yeah, one was 17. His name was Tony Robbins. The next day he went to work for me. He worked for me for, 3.5 years promoting my seminars, then went on his own and became a superstar. The other one was 19 years old. His name was Mark Hughes. Mark Hughes built this incredible company called Herbalife. He died 5 years ago at age 44, year 2000. But he put together the company. Now is doing business in 60 countries, $2 billion in sales. This kid who started with his grandmother as his first customer, and he went from 50 customers to 50 countries in 20 years. Just a remarkable story. But a couple of my claims to fame, Mark Hughes, age 19, Tony, age 16. The point I make many times is you never know who's in your audience. It doesn't have to be an audience of 1,000, just an audience of a few. And if the right people are in the room and you meet them, develop some association, could change your life forever.
Could you talk a little bit about the power of association and the law of alignment, really starting to align yourself with people who are in alignment with a whole set of goals that you're in alignment with? I know this is beyond even a mentor, but can you talk a little bit about the power of association?
Well, one thing I learned was never mistake the power of influence, both good and bad. You just have to be careful who you're around, because without a doubt, they're influencing your life. If you live in a poor community, probably in around where people spend all their money, chances are excellent you'll spend all your money. If you're in a neighborhood or, an area of the country where people don't read, chances are you won't read. Influence is so powerful. Another key, it's so subtle. We wouldn't let somebody kick us or drive us off course, but we might let somebody nudge us off course, just little by little. And first thing 3 years later, you're way off course, and someone says, how did you get here? And you say, I don't know. Say, well, didn't you feel that elbow in your back? Said, yes, but I never thought that much about that. Sure enough, 3 years ago, that was the influence that started that now has pushed you off into a poor place today. But then the key is, one, recognize it. And that's what programs like yours does, mine does, books, any kind of information we get that we take a look and we say, my gosh, from what I'm reading here and from what I'm hearing, I'm off track. And the key isn't the tragedy of being off track. It's that being off track and not knowing it. But once you know it, then you start developing the disciplines and the willpower to little by little get back on track. And that's what all of this learning and coaching and teaching is for. The sermon on Sunday morning. I mean, whatever it is that helps us to get back on track. Sometimes it's a personal experience. You know, a guy has a heart attack, and sure enough, it alerts him that he's off track on his health program. Maybe the doctor says, one more of these in your history. And the guy makes it for the health food store, starts reading all these books, and he starts jogging and, you know, doing all the stuff. And sure enough, now may live to be a very old person. Just because back early enough, if the first heart attack didn't kill him, it was an alert that you've got to make some amends here and get back on track. Here's a good line, Jeff. Everything by longevity tends to get off course. It doesn't matter what it is. Getting married or meeting a friend or starting a business. Longevity tends to make us, you know, a bit careless. Things happen that we don't realize it. Something's pushing on us and we don't recognize it at first. And whether it's our company or our life or our health or our relationship with somebody or marriage or whatever it is, there are always forces that are, you know, at work out there. The early astronauts that went to the moon kept watching the gauges because, you know, some solar winds started to blow that they hadn't programmed for and was pushing them off course. Now they got to fire those little rockets and get back on course. And, of course, if you're heading for the moon, it's critical not to be off course, because if you miss the moon, you can't get back. So some destinations are critical. But all destinations that we want to reach in terms of financial independence, a good marriage, a good life, satisfaction, being able to give more than you know, than we need for ourselves, all of those objectives, in order to reach them, part of it is staying on course. And that's what coaching is all about. Phone calls like this, lyrics from the song, everything you can think of to influence your life to staying on course to the best of your ability.
That's why free enterprise is such a great opportunity for us to really not only develop our business skills, but our life skills. Which brings me to one of the most important words that we either embrace or we procrastinate about. That would be change. And you talk a lot about it in a lot of your philosophy and a lot of your books. Can you just touch a little bit on change, which is a very interesting word?
Well, I'm famous around the world the last 50 years for something I learned that affected my life, and I've shared it with everybody I can, you know, a few million people the last 50 years. For things to change, you have to change. For things to get better, you have to get better. Before I understood that, I used to cross my fingers and say, I sure hope things will change. Then I learned if I wanted the future to be better than the past, I had to do the changing. You know, you can't change the economy. You can't change the political flow. You can't change circumstances, but you can change yourself. And that's the key. This year to be better than you were last year. Decide that next year you're going to be stronger than you were this year. You're not going to make the same mistakes again. You've let yourself drift on a couple of areas of your life this year, and you're going to tidy that up before the year's over. Next year, that's not going to happen to you again. Those kind of decisions are so life-changing. What to do with your time and your money and your life. Those are the issues of the good life.
And you talk a lot about the good life, and that's the very reason that many of our entrepreneurs are on our call tonight, Jim. There's over 600 people on the line tonight. People have also three-wayed their entire teams onto this call. There's probably 800 people listening to you tonight.
Wow.
I know a little bit about your history, and I know that you have been speaking to network marketing and direct sales audiences all around the globe. Could you share a little bit with tonight's listeners, because a lot of them are in a direct sales or a network marketing company, the value of that industry and what someone can gain by actually being in the game? And I kind of want to preface that, because what I've found in my 18-year career is that I find a lot of people, they romance the money they can achieve, but they don't romance the process in that industry. Can you share a little bit about what I've just stated there?
Well, I can appreciate those that are involved, because that's how I started. You know, I'm a kid from the farms of Idaho. I knew how to milk cows, but it didn't pay very well. Then age 25, I discovered that I could make a $200 investment for some products for myself and some to sell, and 15 hours a week starting part-time to learn the skills and disciplines to make it happen, and made my first fortune. So I know what that's all about. It is just life-changing. But this is the greatest gift I got, and I'm glad I got it from the very beginning. My mentor said, "Mr. Owen, why don't you set a goal to become a millionaire?" And, of course, for a farm kid from Idaho, that sounded, you know, okay for me. And it was pretty dazzling to even comprehend becoming a millionaire. Then what he added changed my life and colored my thinking and my activity and all of my lectures and presentations since then. He said, set a goal to become a millionaire for what it will make of you to achieve it. I got the message. Because up until then, I'm sure I was thinking, yes, make $1 million. Wouldn't it be great to have $1 million? He said, well, that's okay, but think of this process, what it will make of you to achieve it. Then when you get $1 million, you could give it away. Because that's not what's important. What's really important is the person you became to achieve $1 million. So I started appreciating more than the money, the skills I was developing, the mindset I was acquiring, the philosophy that I was refining for myself. And then when I had the opportunity to start sharing it and teaching it, I think that's what's made part of it effective. It's because I've been through it. It changed my life. That it wasn't just the pursuit of money, but it was setting goals that, you know, seemed to be a little out of reach at first. But I wanted that personal development so that when I got there, I could say, wow, it's true. It's not what you get that makes you valuable. It's what you become. That's really the heartbeat of all my seminar presentation.
I cover that in great detail in Chapter 3 in one of my favorite books, The 7 Strategies for Wealth and Happiness, Learn How to Change. Why do you see so many people fight and or resist change, even though it's what will allow them to one day reap the harvest?
Well, if change is for the better, you just need to welcome it. It's like welcoming the Monday morning, a chance to go to work and perform miracles in your life. You'd find this interesting, Jeff. I'm working on a little thing called the multi-purpose seventh day. It comes from the old philosophy, 6 days of labor and then the seventh day of rest. And I've added more than just rest for the seventh day, like church and spirituality and friendship and, you know, getting away and relaxing and resting. But I also have designated that seventh day as a look back over the last 6 days. Why not? What calls did you miss and who didn't you see that you should have seen? What disciplines did you sort of leave undone during the last 6 days? And that's useful information now to fine-tune it. Then that day is also to look forward to the next 6 days and say, how can I invest what I've learned the last 6 days and invest that in the next six so that my life is better, my disciplines are better, I fine-tuned my language. I made all those errors in judgment last week. I'm not going to do that this next week. That's a good thing to add to that seventh day as a multi-purpose seventh day.
Oh, I haven't heard that for a while. Errors in judgment. That was another aha moment I had when I first saw you.
Right.
Errors in judgment. Oh, that, man, I'll never.
I teach failure comes from making errors in judgment and repeating them every day.
You know, I'm not a note taker, but because I believe that listening is a very valuable skill, but I still have my original notes from both the times I've seen you, and I'll never forget the first time I heard errors in judgment. That was like an aha moment for me.
Yeah. Repeated every day leads to failure.
It does.
Why would you repeat an error in judgment the second day? Because disaster didn't fall on you at the end of the first day. But sure enough, even if you're a little off track, if you draw a line out from that to a five-year period in the future, you can say, well, gosh, if I continue this 5 years from now, I'll really be off track. You just got to remember that and try not to allow that to happen. But errors in judgment repeated every day. Then the key of turning it all around is a few simple disciplines practiced every day now reverses the process.
You know, and that is a word that so many people seem to, they go into shock over the word discipline, and they don't understand that it really means disciple of. If you're ever going to be successful, it's not going to be an accident. Success is a process, as you say, and it really is a different set of life skills than you learn on a job.
I took a look at it this way, that the 6 days now to go to work, disciplined work, disciplined labor, is a chance to work miracles. If you look at it as a miracle working process rather than just the word discipline, you take a whole new look at it. And the way we look at it, the way we see it, and the way we feel it greatly determines how it works out for us. Whether or not we just try to get through the next 6 days, or whether we try to use our miracle working disciplined power to work miracles in our marriage, work miracles of getting on back on track for our health, our business, everything else, meeting the right people. If you look at it that way, a chance of 6 days of miracle working power, because it's activity that finishes the miracle that imagination and faith get started. So it's a chance to work miracles, not just to be disciplined. And if you look at it that way, the miracle of my good health is going to come from my disciplined health, activity, and my nutrition, all the rest of it. And if you look at it that way, it changes your whole perspective. And things that bother other people about discipline has no effect on you whatsoever. It's a chance to work miracles.
When is this new program coming out?
Which one?
The one you were talking about, the seventh day.
Oh, I haven't got it yet. Yeah, thanks for putting it on me. I appreciate that, Jeff.
Well, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, I would expect that from you. You know, that first book, I kept promising, never did get it out for a long, long time. Finally, someone said to me, why don't you either write that book or quit talking about it? I thought, that is great advice. So I'm going to have to do the same thing on this seventh day. I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you.
You've produced a few audios in your career. You've produced a few books. I want to get your interpretation on this word, because this is a word that a lot of people battle with when they do any kind of sales and marketing. It's called rejection.
Yeah.
How do you assist people with overcoming some of their rejection issues and fear? I want to hear your philosophy.
Well, if you recognize it's all part of the process, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody bats a thousand. So, you know, why should you let it bother you? A great deal of how we look at something is the either education we have or the lack of education we have. You know, in professional baseball, if you go up to bat 10 times and get one hit and you're out, which is a, you know, good term for rejection, the umpire says on your third strike, you're out. I mean, that's probably not a very good feeling. And if 9 times out of 10 you're out, but one time you're on out of 10 in professional baseball, they put you on the payroll if you can handle the 9 times out to get the one time on. And if you get good enough to get 2 hits out of 10, out 8 times, 2 times on, they pay you incredible money. Then if you get good enough to hit 3 out of 10, 7 times out of every 10, but 3 times on, they pay you millions. And some get, you know, mega millions. Meaning you don't have to bat 1,000. So when somebody says, no, that's just part of the game called the law of averages. And once you understand it, it's like, you know, turning discipline into the miracle working power. It changes everything, depending on your education and how you look at it. Some people say, well, I don't have any money. Isn't that discouraging? Say, no. Everybody has some money. Herbalife's got these incredible stories. One of them was that Mark shared with me was a lady who, you know, had 50 cents, could have invested it in a Coca-Cola, but she bought a brochure about Herbalife's products and an opportunity. And Mark said this lady made the decision. The money wasn't the issue. It was only 50 cents. But instead of spending it on the Coca-Cola, she spent it on the brochure and finally became wealthy and had an income of $30,000, $40,000 a month about 10 years later. All of that, it depends on how you see it. And, of course, that little voice in your head says, go for the Coca-Cola because you're thirsty. The brochure is going to be too hard to work. And besides, you've never been successful before. What makes you think you can do it now? We've all got to wrestle with that. And so all of that comes in with rejection. Say, hey, that's part of the game. You know, striking out is part of the game, but that's how you get closer to the next home run.
That is absolutely so true. And, you know, you have had the opportunity to travel the world. You've spoken in front of thousands and thousands of audiences. Who are some of the most remarkable people that you've had the opportunity to share stages with and or spend a little time with in your life? I know our listeners would love to hear who some of your most remarkable people that you've crossed paths with.
Well, you know, there's remarkable people, you know, everywhere. I've traveled probably 50 countries in the last 50 years of my life. You know, I became an entrepreneur age 25, which was 50 years ago. I just celebrated birthday number 75. So I've had a chance to travel the whole world. Be hard to pick out, you know, just one country or one group of people. But here's a good story. The last time I went to Italy, I'm in Rome, and I have 1,000 people in my class. And someone suggested Jim Rohn loves the music of Andrea Bocelli, the blind opera singer. So when they introduced me, I walked up to the podium, and all 1,000 of these Italians stood up and sang for me one of Andrea Bocelli's songs in true Italian style. And I described it later to my grandchildren. I said, here was the scene, a choir of 1,000 and an audience of one. And I've had the opportunity to have those kind of extraordinary experiences everywhere I go around the world. But watching people change and develop over the years has been my joy. Oh, I just thought of it. In fact, I mentioned it to Larry King. I have breakfast at Nate and Al's quite often when I'm home in Beverly Hills, and Larry King is usually there. And he and I have shared, you know, my two claims to fame, Mark Hughes and Tony Robbins. But I just mentioned to him the other day, to Larry, that I had a third claim to fame. He said, who would that be? And I said, Ann Geddes, the famous lady photographer. He said, yes. He interviewed Celine Dion, and Ann Geddes did a book of photographs of Celine's new baby. And he said, yes, she is incredibly famous. I said, well, 27, 28 years ago in Australia, Ann Geddes, when she was just a young lady, attended my seminars, and she says, Jim Rohn seminars helped to change my life. So another claim to fame. It's one of the most extraordinary experiences. But, you know, everybody can enjoy this, Jeff, and that is for their name to appear in somebody's testimonial. You don't have to give seminars around the world. Maybe you sat with somebody at a Tuesday morning at Denny's and shared a book or shared a couple of ideas with somebody. 5 years later, they say to you when you're rich, you know, how'd you get here? Said, let me tell you when it started. 5 years ago at Denny's on a Tuesday morning, this friend of mine shared this book with me and a couple of ideas. That started the process. And then they mention your name. See, that's, you can't buy that with money, but you can earn it every day by going out sharing something with somebody, whether it's a quotation of a poem or a book that's changed your life or giving lectures or doing training. However small it may be, some little house meeting that, you know, you're conducting some training. Someday later, someone may say, here's where it all began for me. And that's an incredible experience.
I pulled out my notes from 9:30 of 2000, handwritten notes. One of the key points I highlighted from that event, I got to watch you all morning with 85 people. You said in that event, success is a chance for immortality. Do you remember what that meant?
Well, yes, because if you share it and pass it on, that creates a bit of immortality for everyone that does it. I have this vision of, you know, after I'm long gone, somebody is up in an attic somewhere going through a box of old dusty books, and there's one of my books. And they blow off the dust, and they open it up, Seasons of Life, or The Art of Exceptional Living, whatever, and they read it and it affects them. And maybe they use it as a textbook to share long after I'm gone, which gives me that unique chance for a bit of immortality.
That was a great quote. You know, everyone has a favorite network marketing story about some of their ups and downs and some of their
right.
struggles. You know, if you've been in the game long enough, you'll have companies go out of business on you. You ever have that happen to you?
Sure, sure.
Those of us who've been in that game know what that's like. Can you share a little bit with the people about what it takes to get back up after you have a major disappointment, when your dreams have been dashed a little, and you've all of a sudden put your dreams back on the shelf? Can you share a little bit about that intestinal fortitude that we tap into to end up eventually living our dreams?
Well, part of that big, that first fortune I made, I lost it all, and a company wanted to borrow some money, $250,000. This was up in Canada. The bank said, well, yes, well, we'll loan you the money if Jim Rohn will sign personally. These were friends of mine, so I signed. I knew they could pay it all back. So sure enough, they paid it all back. Then I happened to move away and down to Beverly Hills, where I live, and I get this letter saying, Dear Mr. Rohn, the company has borrowed this $250,000 again, and they can't pay it back this time. And since we have here your guarantee, would you please send us the $250,000? I thought, well, there's been some mistake. I signed the first note, but when they went and borrowed the money again, nobody contacted me. Nobody, said, will you sign this second note? What I didn't know I had originally signed was a continuing guarantee. So now I'm educated as to what the word continuing means.
Oh, great story.
And in fact, I know how much it is per letter. And it took me a while to finally get that one settled. But anyway, a few foolish decisions on my part. You know, and your fortune can slip away. But then I went back to work and made it all back and a lot more in a lot quicker time. And I've made, my share of fortunes over the last many years. But that was a good experience, a continuing guarantee, Jeff. I just didn't know.
I had a few of those moments. I once loaned a company, Jerry Clark and I both did this. I had those little plastic things you keep in your billfold called credit cards.
Yeah.
Back in 1995, I was one of those guys that had real good credit at that time, and company came to me and asked if I'd loan them money, and I pulled out about seven of those credit cards and ended up about $35,000 a business owner all of a sudden.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know those stories.
I know those stories. Hey, the key is, though, that all comes with it. It's like striking out. But this is a 300 hitter that strikes out. You must remember that when he strikes out. You say, well, this guy isn't very good. He strikes out. Say, no, he hits 300. When he strikes out, it doesn't affect him. What I call that, Jeff, is the mystery and the magic. You got to handle both. The mystery is being out 7 times out of 10. The magic is getting on base 3 times out of 10. So you got to handle the mystery and the magic. I give a classic seminar. Two people walk out the door. One says, I'm going to change my life forever. The other one says, I've heard all this stuff before. I used to be so dismayed that I couldn't affect both people the same way. Then I discovered that's not to be. You know, the guy who bats 300 and makes, $18 million a year can't keep saying, how come I keep striking out? How come I keep striking out? We would call him a fool if he did that. Say, now, no, he doesn't say that. He understands this is part of the game. You can't say, how come I don't bat 1,000? Because nobody does. You just have to understand that. So this is part of it. And that's why education like you're doing, like all of us that are teaching, training, or whether it's the lyrics from a song, whatever the idea is, it helps us to refine our philosophy, helps us to think about things we hadn't thought of before, get a little better and stronger this year than last year, and just keep going.
When you talk in the 7 strategies for wealth and happiness, which is unequivocally one of my favorite little books, I've traveled the world with that book, but you talk about mastering time. Now, that is a very interesting equation, because as entrepreneurs, it's important that we learn how to turn time into results, connections, collaborations, and money. Can you share with the listeners on tonight's call a little bit about your philosophy about mastering time?
Well, part of it is what I mentioned earlier, treating some of your time as capital that nobody can have this time. It's easy to have somebody say, how about going here? And you say, well, okay. Sure enough, you have let go of that capital time without treating it with the seriousness you should. And then there's family time, and, you know, there's the whole collection of the areas of your life that needs time. But you have to make sure that you're making wise investments with your time and not letting all of it slip away. I remember years ago, way back in my early career, there was this guy that I knew watched television so much, and I asked him one time how much his television cost. He said about $400, and I said, well, with your talent and skill, here's what it's really costing you, $40,000 a year. He said, no, I only paid $400 for this television set. I said, well, that's what it costs to buy it. I'm talking about what it costs to watch it. And I said, buying it is cheap. Watching it is what's expensive. He finally got the message, started restricting some of his television time, a lot of his television time, investing that time wisely, and it turned his whole life around and his career. But that's the key. It's not what it costs in terms of money. It's what it costs many times in terms of time. So investing your time wisely, that's how we get to where we want to get as quick as we can. I'm telling the kids now, you know, do what you have to as quick as you can so you can do what you want to as long as you can.
That is a great statement. Here's another great statement that I'll never forget you said back in September of 2000. This was you said that networking and direct sales is the best workshop to get ready for life.
No doubt about it.
What did you mean?
You know, you can work for a lifetime in a corporate structure and never hear lectures and seminars and conversations that can dramatically change your life. One of the best places to hear all of the good stuff that can be life-changing is in network marketing, direct sales. That's where it flows, because it does so well for the people who listen and take advantage and put it to work. But the chance to hear it, many people work a lifetime, 40 years in a corporate structure, and never got to a seminar like you're going to have here coming up. Was it January 5?
Yeah, January 5
yeah.
And 6.
Never have a chance, you know, sort of locked away in a corporate structure that, you know, where they don't have a chance to hear it unless they see an advertisement, happen to go to a public seminar and get the information. But the best chance to hear and be affected by good ideas and information, stories of success of people who started, you know, with the 50 cents and became wealthy, that's direct sales and network marketing.
You know, on January 5th, 6th, and 7th, the keynote speakers are Mark Victor Hansen on Thursday, Jim Rohn on Friday, and Jerry Clark on Saturday. How about that lineup?
Hey, I'm happy about that. Surrounded by, you know, guys who know how to share ideas.
You know, you've met Jerry Clark. You've had the opportunity to have him at your events. You know he's one of my best friends. He allowed me to speak at one of his events and live a lifetime dream of sharing a stage with you. He's been very instrumental in my career. You know, he's someone who grew up in the projects of Oakland, California.
Incredible story.
Incredible story. He answered one of my newspaper ads. He and I were together in several failed ventures. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people will say to Jerry, you know, Jerry and I, they go, Mr. Combs, Mr. Clark, we want to do what you do. We always have the same statement to ourselves.
Yeah. Are you sure you want to walk this same road here, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. He and I just got back from a tour in Australia. It was the first time I've ever been in that country. I know you've spoken there before. But
yeah.
Walking that road, Is that road paved with gold, or is there some ups and downs one must go through on that road?
No. Ask any wealthy person, how'd you get here? And he'll probably say, would you like to hear the whole story? You know? But that's what we really do want to hear. You know, a guy puts his success story on us. We say, well, you know, how about the struggle? And if you're telling your success story, you should spend, you know, for every hour you spend on the story of your success, you should spend 4 or 5 hours on the struggle and how you got there. Because that's what everybody wants to know. If I get knocked down, can I get back up? If I fail, can I do it again? If one book doesn't do it, well, you know, should I read the second book? And the answer is, of course, everybody needs that kind of help and that kind of instruction. Then you've got to have people you can reach out to. with a phone call, you know, people you know that can be trusted advisors to tell you the truth and give you some, you know, wise counsel. All of us need that forever for the rest of our lives.
No, Jim, after a few ups and downs with Jerry, I found out that he was back being a stockbroker and I had become a food broker after three unsuccessful ventures in a row. And I called him up and I said, Jerry, you realize we're both brokers? And, you know, I said, it's time to get back in the game. And, you know, we got back in the game again. And in a short period of time, we were out of business again. This was 1996. And I ended up almost $80,000 in credit card debt. You know what, though? I wasn't disillusioned by then, and neither was he. And, you know, getting back in the game, I mean, I got to a point where the only option was success. Can you share a little bit about that before we wrap up tonight?
Yeah, you just have to decide, you know, I will become what I want to become or get as close to it as possible. There's an interesting phrase in the Bible, and here's what it says. Strive for perfection, giving us not the idea that we can necessarily be perfect, but what's important is to strive to be the best you can, earn as much as you can, share as much as you can, read every book you possibly can, touch every person you can, share as much as you can in the hours and days, weeks, months, and years that you've got left to live a good life. And that's part of the key, that, you know, expending our life in trying to reach others with something valuable. If I struggle, Jeff, to make something clear for you, I make it more clear for myself.
That is a great philosophy. You know, Jim, it's been awesome having you on this call this evening. This call was a long time in the process, putting it together. It took us almost a year and a half being able to get Mr. Jim Rohn on this call. I know your schedule takes you all over the world. It was an absolute privilege to have you in Dallas, Texas. You absolutely brought the house down last year, or this past year, in Dallas, Texas. We're fortunate enough to have you this upcoming year, 2006. You'll be speaking on Friday from 2 to 4. And will you be signing autographs and taking pictures as you probably are famous for?
Sure, that's part of my life.
You know,
I love it.
You know, that's a great point, because I had my first picture taken with you. I was so far in the back of the room in 1991, it wasn't possible. I didn't think the great Jim Rohn would still be there, and I let my own doubt keep me from getting that picture. Boy, when September 2000 rolled around, I got my picture taken, and I got to have it done again this year. So we're glad to have you at that event.
Well, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I never thought anybody would want my autograph or my picture. So you can imagine now, all these years later, how excited I am about it happening.
You know, once I had the opportunity to see the great Yogi Berra, and his career was over at that point as far as being a player, and I was in St. Louis, and he was in the dugout, and he was a third base coach for the Mets, the 69 Miracle Mets. And I'll never forget, I said, Yogi, can I get your autograph? And he said, take a hike, son.
Yeah.
I'll never forget him saying that. So
not good.
No, it wasn't good. And I made sure that when anyone asked me to autograph a book or any of those, that I don't take on that same philosophy that a great athlete did. And maybe he was just having a bad day, and we all have them. But
it could be. I remember when I'm 25 years old, just getting started, you know, getting my first autograph and getting my first picture taken with somebody important. Those were exciting days for me. So I remember those when I'm out there.
Oh, me too. And I'm going to share with the folks a little bit about how they can get a ticket to the More Heart Than Talent Mindset Conference. They can get that at moreheartthantalent.com. You can still get a ticket for $199. Jim, is that a good investment for Mark Victor Hansen, Jerry Clark, and Jim Rohn?
Hey, without a doubt. You know, we'll make it worth, you know, a million times more than what you invested.
$199. Now, we also, at your office, put together a fabulous package for the folks on tonight's call that want to take advantage of some of the Jim Rohn information. We are going to be offering the 2001 weekend event. And folks, you can take advantage of this offer tonight. For $99, you're going to have the opportunity to purchase the 2001 Jim Rohn weekend event with Zig Ziglar, Jeffrey Gittimore, and more. You're going to have the opportunity to purchase a 20 CD course along with a 254-page workbook, combination of Jim's 2001 event, as I stated, Zig Ziglar and Jeffrey Gittimore. Now, here's how you can take advantage of this offer. For $99 plus shipping and handling, you take advantage of this a couple of ways. And this is unequivocally a product you deserve to have in your hand before you even attend the Jim Rohn event coming up January 5th, 6th, and 7th, More Heart Than Talent. First of all, you can take a phone order by calling this number, 800-929-0434. That's 800-929-0434. That way you can place a phone order if you can't go to the website I'm about to give you. Now, the website where you can order directly is this website, www.jimrohn.com/heart, H-E-R-T, to receive this special. So understand that this is what you can get tonight. I'm going to say it one more time. You get the entire, and I have a color picture of this. I have this in my own library, the Jim Rohn 2000 Weekend Event. Just the information with Jeffrey Gittimore. Is that guy a great marketer, Jim, or what?
He is the best.
I mean, he is one of the best marketers and one of the best trainers when it comes to mastering the art of selling. Zig Ziglar, you shared a few seminars with old Zig, haven't you?
A lot of years, Jeff.
A lot of years. You know, Zig has assisted a few people on how to master the art of selling. So, folks, you want to take advantage of this tonight. Operators are standing by, and you can order directly online. $99 plus shipping and handling. You break that down, that's a few pennies a day. You would have the opportunity to have that as part of your library. You also want to take advantage of being able to get a ticket for the next 7 days. You can still get a ticket for $199 for the More Heart Than Talent Mindset Conference. Jim Rohn, Mark Victor Hansen, Jerry Clark as featured keynote speakers on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Folks, you want to take advantage of a couple of these offers. Jim, I want to thank you for being on our call this evening.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks to you and Erica. I appreciate the invitation.
You know, it's going to be my privilege. I love to sell. You can tell that, can't you, Jim?
Of course.
I go into a whole different juice, but one of the most awesome opportunities that I've ever had in my life. And you talk about a privilege. I said to Kyle Wilson, you know, your trusted ally and confidant there, who really is an exceptional person who you collaborate with. I said, Kyle, please let me sell Jim's information from the stage. And, you know, Kyle said, oh, well, let me put this. I said, Kyle, just give it to me. Just give it to me. And we had a tremendous amount of fun being behind your sales table and marketing your products at that event. So
I do remember.
One more time, folks. I'm just going to give you this website, www.jimrohn.com/heart, H-E-A-R-T. And the 800 number where you can place a phone order if you have any challenges getting online tonight is 800-929-0434. Take action. Create a sense of urgency. Take advantage of this offer tonight. If you have any problems, any questions, you can also call my office, 800-595-6632. Now, Jim, I'm going to open up the line, so be prepared. You're going to get a wave of about 600 people. Thanking you. We would like to have you back on our call again next year at some point. Have a great end of the year, a great holiday season. Jim, it's a privilege to have you be a part of what we're building here with Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I'm going to open up the line, let everyone say goodnight to you. Jim, good night.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, guys. That was wonderful.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Thanks, Jeff.